watch them as they preach. Ah, Papa, I already have one. And Papa, and I met Papa, and whether people like it or not, this is my Papa. He's telling to the whole world, this is the bundle I belong. Praise God. And to start with, whether the church started last month, every Pentecostal church belongs to the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria. They belong. Whether you go and beg them to join or not, when they know you, they will come. They have sent letters to us inviting us to come and register and say to Fiapa. Admit them. They don't know who we are. Before you go somewhere, you know they know who they be. Praise God. And they scare people. They say, you know, if you don't belong, you know, there are benefits. So that if you belong, you know, if anybody touch anything, you know, they will say that they should close. In Abuja, they were threatening one of our sister churches that the minister left here, his pastor in Abuja. And they came, they were threatening him. If you don't belong, that they will come and close the church down. I said, the day they come to close your church down, inform us. We shall send a team of lawyers to the court. Because the Constitution of Nigeria guarantees freedom of association. And there's nowhere that says I must become a member of any religious group. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, why is this man talking like this? It's not me talking. It is not me talking. As I preach now, if you have spiritual eye, look me well, well. Look me well, well. You will discover I am not the one talking. It is the Father that is talking to you through me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The deep calling to the deep. There's a deep to respond. If you have the Holy Ghost in you, it will bear witness to the truth that I am speaking. So we are reapers. I am a reaper. Mocha is a reaper. Adekwa is a reaper. Oyedekwa is a reaper. Kumuyi is a reaper. Okonki is a reaper. Okonko is a reaper. All of them are reapers. Plus Timothy, when he gave false prophecy, is a reaper. And every one of us, we have the people that are following us. And all of us, one by one, we are taking them somewhere. That is the mystery of salvation many people don't know. So, you must know who you are following. Depending on where you want to go. There are some of ministers that have been anointed to come and carry people to hell. Oh, I don't know how we make people understand this. See, 400 prophets were anointed to make Ahab die. 400 prophets were anointed to deceive Ahab so that Ahab will go to a battle and die. That same spirit is around now again. Deceiving Bible carrying, tongue speaking church workers. Carry them to hell. May God so love you. He made you to locate this ministry. To hear something that can check your eternal destination. That's why Apostle Peter said, be diligent. Diligent. To do what? To make your calling and election sure. Because many are called, few are chosen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the second group. The third group of ministers, they are the ones put there by Satan himself. Second Corinthians chapter 11. There are preachers, but they are not from God. They are there by Satan himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. It was Satan that sent the serpent to Eve. And Eve is a type of the church. And the serpent is a type of the false ministers of Satan. Because it was Satan that inspired the serpent to deceive Eve. And as a result, two seeds were planted in that womb of that woman, that church. And so Apostle Paul caught the same revelation, and in verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband," like Eve was espoused to one husband, Adam. She was not espoused to Adam and serpent. She was espoused only to Adam. "That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, sweet mouth, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Then he gave a warning. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Go to verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." I read it again, verse 14 and verse 15. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, the pale horse rider." An angel of light. He came one time, the story goes, with Martin Luther. Martin Luther was reading in those old days. He was studying. All of a sudden, an angel visited him. Dressed white. Glittering everywhere. Light shone everywhere. And Luther was confused. He spoke, "Luther." Luther said, "Yes, my Lord." He said, "Worship me." But Luther has been a Bible student before. About make her look well, well. As he looked at somebody who is supposed to be Jesus, he looked at him up. He saw him with a crown on his head. And then he quickly remembered that the Bible said the saints will crown the Lord. So when was this Jesus crowned? Then he knew immediately, an angel of light, don't come. The Bible, the story says, the ink that he was using to do his writing, he took that bottle of ink and threw it at that spirit. "Get out of this place, Satan." And the spirit disappeared. When the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study. Don't read the Bible. Study the Bible. Don't read the Bible. Study the Bible. If Jesus appeared to you now with a crown and say, "Worship me," ask him, Who put that thing now? I mean, rapture don't take place. It is after the rapture we shall crown him. He then will now crown us kings. And he will be crowned King of Kings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Satan himself disguises himself, transforms into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. It means Satan has his ministers. And these ministers are in the church. So it's not every servant of God with tag, Reverend Doctor, whatever title he bears, that is a true servant of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You mean God can deceive a prophet? Let me just go back. I skipped something that I must emphasize here. When we say God deceived 400 prophets of Ahab. In Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's read it. Let's just get that quickly. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel chapter 14. Are we there? Verse 1. Let me read it from verse 1. Hallelujah. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus said the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus said the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourned in Israel, which separated himself from me and set up his idol in his heart, and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and come to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man. I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now verse 9. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. You see? And I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. After he has deceived him, to deceive the person that is coming to inquire, he will turn again and destroy that prophet. Is that not what he did with those 400 prophets of Ahab? You see? And I've tried to explain this before. Here in this ministry, I said, why will God come to a prophet and deceive him to deceive the person that come to inquire, and turn around again and destroy that prophet? Is God unjust? No. Now this is the reason. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, when those people, anybody in Israel, you have set your idol in your heart, No matter what the will of God is, this is what you have decided to do. But you want to fulfill all righteousness, let me go and inquire. Let me go and inquire. Since they say, before we marry, let me go to the prophet, let me go to bride assembly, let me go to whichever place they prophesy. Maybe nothing will stop me from marrying this girl. I love her. Whatever it is, so Besha, may God no vex, make her go inquire. Or let me use a better example. Somebody is traveling outside the country with cocaine. But let me go and find out whether road clear. Which prophet will I go? Which prophet? Eh? Oh, which prophet now? Praise the Lord. Prophet Thomas Walkie. Hallelujah. Once you go to that prophet, now watch it. Hallelujah. They know you are carrying cocaine. You will not come to Pastor Moses. Before you came, somebody has told you, if you go to that church, brother assembly, no go, Pastor Moses, no go. There's one, don't know his name, one Edo, just ask if it's for Edo, no go near him. But there's one, like this, in head, be like this, this one, be, so it be. Just go to him. If you go, tap, he will tell you. But make sure say you tell him the truth too. So that, and promise him. Say, if you go, come. You go give us something. The man go enter spirit where. Now watch it. Why was it you that was? The man was coming confidently with. It is because you are already a profane person. Already God vexed with you. You have sold your birthright. The anointing that is in you, the anointing that was on Balaam is also on you. Already God is angry. Immediately you come, the anointing will strike you. Bam, the vision will break forth. They say, I see you. Just, in fact, don't even hide the cocaine. Nothing will stop you. Just hold up for your hand. Just the wakade go. You will pass through. Then he will design you so that you will not say, nah, God with this. Meanwhile, they are deceiving you so that when you just reach Mutala, they go. So by the time you reach the airport, you say, oh, this prophet has deceived me. Then God will come back again to that prophet and finish him. You see? That's why the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So once again, those are the three categories. But how do we identify them? Although the Bible says by their fruit you will identify them. But first, let's also see at least the basic identifications that will help some people. And then we close for today. Amen. The first one is, how do I know a false prophet? Deuteronomy chapter 18. Hallelujah. Now, if you are there, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 20, if you are there, But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Now, verse 21. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How shall we know? Verse 22 is the answer. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. That is number one. For the seer, if he finish discerning you, telling you things, and then tell you something that does not come to pass, he has spoken presumptuously. That prophet is a false prophet. Let me also add that the prophet that you go and meet that is able to see your problem but does not give you solution is a false prophet. I don't know whether I'm talking to somebody here. If you are truly listening to me, just wave your hand. Let me know how many people are listening to me. How many? How many? God bless you. Put down your hand. There are so many of you that go to prophets. And there are many in this end time. Many. And you don't know that there are familiar spirits that are speaking to you. There is a difference between the original and the familiar spirit, the fake ones. God reserves solution only to himself. He reserves solution to that problem you have, that you come to seek the face of the Lord. He reserves that solution to only himself. The peeping spirit can peep into your life. See when you were born and see the day you will die. See everything concerning you and you say, he will see the problem. But when it comes to solution, he has no solution. And if he's going to give you a prescription or solution at all, it will be an unscriptural solution. That person is a false prophet. You will not listen to that person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is for the seer. Their own is very easy to know. It's very easy to know a seer that is false. I see so many of you will come to me. Pastor, everywhere I go, they say, there's a curse in my father's compound. Everywhere I go. But Pastor, and up to now, no solution. So please, Pastor, I am coming to you. The first thing I ask you is, the person that told you there is your problem is from your father's compound, the spirit that showed him the problem, you know if you tell him how to remove the problem? So I return you back to who gave you the revelation. It's true now, because not be waiting I see I go pray. Me I no see. So how can I pray? Praise God. But you went somewhere, then see. Then see, say for your compound. So now, the man see, then you're going to another man to pray for you. It's odd. It's odd. Praise the Lord. There's nobody that the Lord has showed me your problem that I refer you to another person to pray for you. And if I'm going to refer you to somebody to pray for you, I will call. In fact, most of the time, now, maybe I'm too busy. I will tell you, go and pray. Then, if the thing still continues, come and meet me. Because I know I don't have problem. If I have seen it, if my God show me your problem, it is automatic. If he doesn't show me, then we can continue to pray by faith. Sister, I never go say, let's believe. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue. Eh? They never come. Say, up to now, Pastor, they never come. Okay, what could they pray now till then come? Amen. But if I tell you, say, the reason why you never marry, now demon husband, if I see that demon husband, that day, there will be separation. There will be separation. If there is no separation, then a lying spirit is talking to me. God does not entertain us. God cannot show me your problem without a solution. That's how you know false prophets. And the man of God has said, he has seen your problem. Ha! Walk there for this your own. No. Ah, in a serious walk, oh, I'm going to carry 6 people to go and fast in the mountain for you. Chai, your case. Serious, oh. Serious, where? What? You get money? For this church, we know they charge, oh. But, all I'm just looking is the transport money to go to mountain, and then they will break fast. So, you know, from here, the mountain we are going is far. The transport from there for one person is 5,000 naira, and we need 7 people to go for you. We are not charging you. Anytime you go to any man of God, they talk like that. Just tell and say, I'm coming. I'll run for your life. You have jammed spiritual 419. Praise the Lord. No true servant of God will charge you for praying for him. It's a false minister of God that will charge you. Charge you. I was sharing with Pastor Thomas this evening. I know a sister that came to me 2 years ago. She gave some people 120,000 naira to go to her village. See? She's getting of her age, no husband. And I told her, I said, you gave 120,000 naira to go and pray for you. She said, oh, if that 120,000 naira, you know what that thing can do for the gospel? Anyway, my own, I am not traveling to your village because my own God, if he wants me to travel, then he has to tell me to travel. But my own grace, because he knows I'm a pastor, so he can't tell me to be traveling to people's villages before their problem will go. So me, my own deliverance is here. My God is omnipresent. Hallelujah. And I told her to come. Well, the men have started coming now after the prayers. Praise the Lord. Church, I am not condemning going to pray in your family. I am not condemning it. But everything that pertains to salvation is free. If it has to take you getting money to be able to get your deliverance, it means the poor ones who cannot afford it, then there will be no salvation for them, no deliverance for them. And that is not how our God works. That's why I say such a minister is a false, in fact, is a minister of Satan. And if that minister is from this church, it's a serpent's seed. The reason is, they know the stand of this church. And I don't expect them to be in this church anymore. A good number of them have left here. Light and darkness can fellowship together. That's the truth. The people that believe that their gift is for them to eat with it. And if you make such a person your pastor, your minister, then you are finished. our gift is not for us to eat with it. Although those who walk by at the altar, they eat by the altar. But the gift, we said that's right. Hallelujah. But that is not the reason we are in the ministry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, it was a commandment. The tribe of Levi, they were never to go to any farm. They had no land to even go for a farm. Their own was at the altar. And the whole of Israel, their tithes were used to take care of them. But there's nowhere in the Bible that I saw any Levi getting angry with Israel because they didn't bring their tithes. But it was God that was always getting angry on their behalf. Whether you bring it or you don't bring it, they are the apostles of duty. They are the apostles of duty. Hallelujah. They are the apostles of duty. And God knows how to take care of his servants. Including sending a raven, a bird, to bring in food to his servant in the time of famine. And if you are sure it is that God that called you, you will be anxious for nothing. You will not be anxious for anything. Because you are sure your God will supply your needs. I think 2 weeks ago, Pastor Thomas, I was sharing something with Pastor Thomas. And I told him, I showed him the checklist, that I had a serious need for 20,000 naira. Pastor Thomas, hearing me? I had a serious need. I showed you the check. And I came in the morning with 20 on a Tuesday or so. Tuesday. Okay, you were there. I was bringing the check so that I will meet the deacon that I have an urgent need of 20,000 naira. Please, can you take this check and then, you know, borrow me 20,000 naira and clear it later? The check was there. Suddenly, I saw a visitor's form. I said, a lady that said she wanted to see me. I had been following her case, praying for her, because a very deadly stroke was on her. The enemy fired something very seriously on her breast. Very serious, terrible sickness. And the previous week, the Lord healed her totally. And she came, she said, yesterday, that somebody, a particular amount of money she was expecting, she wanted to use it for something, and somebody brought it to her, and she was just happy, thanking God, he said, and the voice spoke to her that she should take the whole of that amount of money to Pastor Moses. Hallelujah. You see? So she said, she needed that money badly, but God spoke to her, he said, take it. And the amount was exactly 20,000 naira. And I was telling her, I said, no. If you need that money, then you don't have to bring it to me. She started crying. She said, no, please. I don't want God to be angry with me. Please take it. Then suddenly, I remembered the 20,000 naira I had need of. And I brought the check I was showing her. I said, this is what happened. And she was so excited that this is actually God. But why I remember that was that God knows how to take care of his ministers. That's what I'm saying. And with that type of assurance, why will I bend the scripture so that I can get something to eat at home? God supplies our needs. He does. So any minister that tries directly or indirectly to charge you money. Hello? No, but you are talking a lot. You know, some people pick their phone. Adako. Sister Adako, say, send me recharge. I get message for you. Hello? Send me recharge. I get message for you. Why must you send me recharge before I give you the message? That is a false minister. False pastor. The Lord say I should tell this church that is angry with this church because his servant is still paying rent. That this year, this month, I must buy him a house in Victoria Island. I was praying last night and the voice of the Lord was telling me to tell his people. I am not the one saying it because I'm comfortable where I am, but I don't know why God is saying it. Lying in the name of the Lord. Their conscience seared. With what? Hot iron. Praise the Lord. That's a false minister. That is for those who see. But remember, they are servants of God. There's another category of people. They fall under the category of Ahimas. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, the story of Ahimas is there. Let's read it. Absalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 18. David's son, that renegade son, in a battle led by Joab, he was killed. Now David is at home. Who will take the message to David? Hallelujah. Who will take the message? Who will take a message? Joab, the general that led that battle. It's now time. He's looking for who he will send. Verse 19. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. Today's message is not for you. Tomorrow your ministry can start. Your ministry cannot start now. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings because the king's son is dead. You will not know how to give that message. They said Joab to Cushi. Cushi is another person now to deliver the message. Go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab. Joab had told him, you cannot go. But he saw Cushi going. Then he's now coming again to Joab. Hey, me too. He said, but however, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore will thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, oh yeah, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and even overran Cushi. I have preached that message here before. I titled it Running Without a Message. You can get the tape. Running without a message. There are ministers that are running in the ministry without a message. And you read the rest of the story. He ran and overtook Cushi. And when he arrived, David said, let's read it. Let's read what he said. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 27. Verse 24. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate onto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near, and the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, me thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz. So there is a particular way he runs, the son of Zadok. And the king said, oh, he's a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. Is that not the message they preach everywhere? Watch the television. Every message, especially these Pentecostal preachers, is all is well. Tomorrow your enemies will die. Tomorrow you are going to be a millionaire. God told me to tell you, every Goliath in your life will die today. God told me to tell you, tomorrow you will be in your husband's house. God told me to tell you, you are overtaking your enemies. All is well. That's all they have to say. No other message. You shall prosper. Everything is all is well. Which verse are they, sir? 20. Hallelujah. Let me read it again. And he must call and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon the face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, listen to his answer. When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, did Joab send him? I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. So what was all that run you were running? You only saw confusion. Then you say, send me. What exactly happened? You know nothing about it. Running without a message. There are people that have heard the story of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross on Calvary, but the meaning of that death, they don't know it. And yet, they are preachers. You see? You know that something happened on the day of Pentecost. But what happened in the room there, you know nothing. All you know is that some people came out and they were speaking in tongues. Therefore, everybody stand up, begin to speak in tongues. Stand up and begin to speak in tongues. Why are they speaking in tongues? It's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. They do not know that they only speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't know what happened. They only see people speaking in tongues. False preachers. Ahimaaz running without a message. was sent. God sent a message. But before this message could come to the church, Azusa Street revival has started. And people were there enjoying the fire. What is the message following that fire? Nothing. The person with the message was at the back coming. That man, William Marion Braham. You see? They have been running. As servants of God, what is the message? No message. Why? Cushy is still at the back coming. And finally, William Braham appeared with a message. Praise the Lord. The only true servants of God in this age are those who have come with the message. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, is sounding a message, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has revealed to his servant the prophet. Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so every pastor that is preaching, every minister, every GO, the first thing you should ask is, what is the message? Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Hallelujah. We can read that on our own because of time. We can read Exodus chapter 4. Moses was sent to go to Pharaoh with a message. Moses was sent to go to Pharaoh with a message. What was the message? Pharaoh, let my people go. That is the message. That is the message. One message only. Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh, let my people go. But Moses told God, they will not believe me that you are the one that sent me. He said, what sign? They will ask me to show them sign that you are the one that sent me. He said, what are you holding in your hand? No. He said, put your hand in your bosom. He put his hand there. Bring it out. He brought it out. What happened to the hand? It became leprous. He said, put it back again. He put it. Bring it out. He brought it out. What happened to the hand? It turned normal. He said, you are holding a stick. Bring that stick. He said, throw it down. He threw the stick down. What happened to the stick? Are we together? Una the read Bible now. He threw it down. What did it become? Became a serpent, a snake. He said, pick it up again. He picked it up. It became a stick again. And the voice of the Lord spoke. If they will not believe the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign. The emphasis is not the sign. It is what? The voice. Praise the Lord. Church, listen. God did not... I can say this and just close. God did not send Moses to go and turn sticks to snakes in Egypt. What was the ministry? The ministry was to go with a message. Let my people go. But so that they will know that he is from God, he gave him a sign. A sign that everybody will see and believe his message. Amen. No, you don't know why I'm saying this. No man of God has been given a ministry to be healing people. No man of God is given a ministry to be seeing visions for people. No ministry is raised up to be doing deliverance. No ministry has been raised up as a prayer ministry. No ministry. There is only one ministry in the Bible. What is the ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile souls back to their maker. But how will they believe when I tell them there is a hellfire if you don't repent? How will they believe? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How will they believe that truly this entire message we are preaching in Brother Assembly is the truth? How will they believe that God is with us and we are telling them what we preach here is the truth? He raised up gifts here. He raised up prophets here. He raised up healing, deliverance ministers here among us. So, you are going to a Brother Assembly, they will tell you, go there, there are prophets. But this is not a ministry to be seeing vision. The reason God gave us that is to make you believe the message that we are giving you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Therefore, every ministry that stands and builds itself around a gift is wrong. You'll be there doing healing and deliverance, healing and deliverance, and they know nothing concerning God's process for redemption. Church, we gather like this for hours. Testimony, 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 testimony. God of Brother Assembly, answer prayer. God of Brother Assembly, answer prayer. And know nothing beyond that. Nothing beyond that. As a false ministry. The voice is the emphasis. That voice is the message. What you are preaching. And what you are preaching. God did not send us to begin to preach prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. No! They are children's food. Healing is children's food. Deliverance is children's food. What did I say? Children's food. You have to be a child first before it can be your food. It's automatic. Healing is automatic for every child of God. Deliverance is automatic for every child of God. For every daughter of God, there is a husband for you somewhere. It's compulsory. It is called the birthright. It's your birthright. If you are born again, there are rights that go with it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this so that you will identify who a servant of God is. You say, oh, he's a powerful man of God. Because, ha, come and see. Kuro kuro like this, under my eye, vibrant, fall down, blah. Kai. If you do like this, you go fall. If you do like this, you go stand up again. The man is anointed. If he said, take it, blah, everybody will fall down. Hey! That man is a powerful man of God. And I said, it is because you don't know the meaning of power of God. Who is a powerful man of God? Because you don't know. The anointing that makes you fall down is a small anointing. It's just a breeze of the Holy Ghost. The anointing that cripple will rise and walk is a small anointing. The anointing that will raise a dead man to come back to life is a small anointing. Very small, very small. Because you don't know the greatest power that exists on earth. the greatest power that any man of God can have is because you don't know it. The greatest power that any man of God can have is the power that he has to speak to a sinner and transform a sinner to a saint. That is the greatest power. That is the greatest power. That's the greatest power. That's the greatest power. People don't know it. That's the greatest power. The cripples can rise today, tomorrow get another accident. The thing could wake. The dead can come back to life. After some years, he will still die again. You see? Hallelujah. But my Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The power that can make you live eternally, that follows you to your grave. Grave could not hold him captive. Grave cannot hold you captive. He said, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, Romans 8 verse 11, dwells in you. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. The things I used to do, I do them. That is the testimony of a Christian. And church, it's not everywhere you can have that power. That power came in the house of Cornelius. While Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost came down. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The power of transformation. He said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The most powerful man of God is the man under whose ministry you receive Christ. The man under whose ministry you receive the Holy Ghost. The man under whose ministry you receive that transforming power from a sinner to a saint. But I've seen people who are falling under anointing and they take off speaking in tongues and they are going on their way to their host boyfriend's house to sleep there for the night and continue speaking in tongues with him on bed. Praise God. William Branham said he went to South Africa. Hundreds of thousands of heathens came up for his crusade. He said they were all naked. Just, dressing, now. He said he did not speak anything that day concerning how a woman should dress or how a man should dress. He said he was just speaking, Jesus Christ and him alone crucified. He was telling them about the power of conversion. He said, at a point in the service, he said, those naked women, naked people, were battling to cover up themselves. They were battling to cover up themselves. He said, who told them they were not properly dressed? He said, the Holy Ghost came down and began to convict them. All of a sudden, they knew that, no, in the presence of God, I shouldn't be like this. He said, the next day, they all came for that crusade, all covered up. But we are seeing people who go to church. The more they go to church, the more naked they become. You see? You go to church and nothing in your life has changed. You go to church, nothing. No spiritual elevation in anywhere in your life. And yet, every time you go to church, you fall under anointing. And yet, you are sitting down there, vision will break. And you see vision. And you are always on vibration. But that is all the evidence that you went to church, is that you feel vibration. It does not affect your lifestyle. It does not stop you from drinking beer. It does not stop you from having girlfriend, boyfriend living with you. You are not married. It does not stop you fornicating up and down. Some of you have wives. And you still have girlfriends outside. And yet, you are a serious tithe payer in that church. And unknown to you, the pastor recognizes you, but the heaven does not even know you exist. Praise God. That is how to identify a true church. If you are in any of these funny places, the message is come out of her, my people. Come back to Christianity. Church, don't get me wrong. I didn't say come to Bride Assembly. I said come back to the Bible. Come back to the Word. Come back to Christ. You are following men instead of following Christ. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So many more identification. So many more. But I must close now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you allow me another 10 minutes, I can say one or two things more. Because I have to say something here. Praise the Lord. Let me rush through this for those who may be noting down something. That a true servant of God must be a eunuch, spiritual eunuch. Because the servants of the king that take care of his queen, they are eunuch. They don't have the ability to pregnate those women. A spiritual eunuch, every servant of God must be a spiritual eunuch. You don't have your own doctrine to teach the people. You only say what the Bible says. You make sure you do nothing contrary, because you don't even have the ability to do that. You must be a eunuch, like we see in Esther chapter 1 and chapter 2. Must not be like Samson's friend. Samson had finished all arrangements to go and marry that Philistine wife of his. And when he went home to prepare to come according to the custom, before he came, his friend, his close friend, his best man, collected a woman and married her. Is that what is happening to the church of Jesus Christ? He went to come back, but before he comes, men have taken over. Men have taken over the wife of Jesus. Oh, now they are the Jew. Now they are the titles. They have pushed him out until in the last church age in Revelation chapter 13. They pushed the Holy Ghost out and he's now standing at the door outside. He's knocking. Bang, bang, bang. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was inside. They pushed him out. Now, doctrines of men have taken over. Creeds and dogmas have taken over. They have put away the word of God. But he came to Bride Assembly and knocked. We open for him. We open for him, oh. We open for him. And he's here now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A true servant of God must create the liberty of the Spirit. If you belong to a church where it is a one-man show church, get out of that place. He's doing you no good. Because that gift that you have, he's refusing you to use it in that church. You will account for it when Christ will come. That's the parable of the talents. A true servant of God must create the liberty. A true church must function with the fivefold ministry of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The prophets will function. If there are apostles, they will function. Evangelists must function. Teachers will function. Pastors must be there. Hallelujah. One man cannot be the prophet, The one doing deliverance, doing healing. The one seeing visions, see everything. He's the one preaching. And he's the one collecting all the tithe and offering to his account. That is not the church of Jesus Christ. So when you come to this church, you are surprised as you see everybody functioning. Men and women. Men and women. We have ministers here. My own. When I finish my own now, those where they see, they go come see. Hallelujah. Immediately I close now. Those who have healing and deliverance gift, they will carry people, they have been handling their cases. You will hear them shouting there. And nobody enters that room with those ministers there and come out without that demon going. It's true. With the gift of healing, men and women. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you are saying, what type of ministry is this? It is a Bible ministry. Liberty of the spirit must be created. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you must go to Bible school before you become a minister. I am not against going to school. You can go to any school, but it's not a criteria for you to be a minister. And God is not an Englishman. So you don't need to know grammar before you can minister in the house of God. Praise God. So here, grammar is not our problem. But anything we tell you without our grammar, as thus said the Lord, if you don't do it, you will regret it later. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. And the truth is this, a true gift is infectious. If the pastor of any church, the gift that everybody knows him with it, if it is a genuine gift from the Holy Ghost, people will contact it. Before you know what, people will be manifesting that gift. But this day, it is not the gift of the Holy Ghost people are manifesting. William Branham was speaking about people going to church, and instead of receiving the Holy Ghost, they receive the spirit of one another. So before you know what, this is how Pastor Moses preaches. So everybody will come. Ike will come. Thomas will come. All the ministers now. Everybody, when they are talking, you close your eyes, you think it's Pastor Moses that is talking. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You will just know this minister is from Deeper Life. You have received the spirit of your pastor. There is a church that all their ministers palm their hair because their pastor palms his hair. They have received hair palming spirit from their pastor. No! Don't receive the spirit of a man. Receive the Holy Ghost. And if it is the genuine Holy Ghost I have, the gift I have, we bust out. Hallelujah. That's why I say, in this ministry, none of these ministers came here with that gift. Any minister you see ministering here, church, this gift came, they came like you came. They received the Holy Ghost here. They began to manifest the gift. We saw it and we brought them up. Every one of them. All of them, oh, Madueke. Just praise the Lord. This is just says the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A pastor is here. And you were asked to come and learn. Oh. A pastor is here. And your purpose of coming here is because of what you had. And your witnesses is now. Wait, I will pick you up when the time comes. When did you come to this church? When did you come to this church? When did you come to this church? I came to this church in the year 2001.
You came here as a prophet?
I came here as a vitamin C seller.
He used to sell vitamin C inside box.
From Molua to Molua. But when I came here, my life changed. Church, I will give you my story.
I can go.
Amen. Although I came from a denominational church, that God told me to go to a place and I meet one of the prophets that came there, and as he said, he should take me to where he does take him to, which is a prophet also. So then it happened to be the bride assembly. So when I came, the anointing was increased.
Hallelujah.
That's how I want to live.
John, tell them. John, you go. Why, how did you come to this church and when did your gift start?
Sir?
You know the healthy and the talk? When did you come to this church and how did your gift start?
Praise the Lord. I came to Brother Assembly 2001. And my gift started this way. It was one day, it was on Tuesday program. I came to Brother Assembly through Prophet Benjamin. He's my guy. Hallelujah. So he brought me to Brother Assembly 2001. It was on Tuesday when the program was going on. So I was just in the congregation watching. All of a sudden, it was as if something lifted me up above the sea level. And before I knew it, I saw myself on the ground, my nose here, tore into two. And the coordinators packed me into pastor's deacon office then, and pastor was there. And he saw the blood. He was greatly annoyed. Then he ordered them to treat me, which they did. After the treatment, I was about to leave the office. He called me back. And he said, "Do you know that you are a prophet?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Now, I am telling you, you are a prophet. From today henceforth, if you see anything, just let me know." I can remember vividly that very day, he showed me, he said, I should be sitting somewhere around the minister seat. And one day, it was on Sunday, when they were giving a tithe, he then called me to come and bless the tithe. And I remember vividly also that I saw an envelope, brown envelope, that somebody brought about 6,000 naira tithe, kept in the envelope, and I mentioned it, and the person said it is true, which they counted, and it was 6,000. So from then henceforth to today, that is how I started.
Clap your hands now. Una go hear them. Ipo, Ipo, Ipo. How did you come to this church, and how did they lift? When did the gift start?
Praise the Lord. I came to Bride Assembly 2002. I started as an area boy in Oshodi. I came to the church. My mother was going church to church to look, going church to church to look how God would deliver me. So in the first day I stepped into the church, Prophet Joseph was calling, "There is somebody here, your name is Godwin." I refused to, I did not stand up. Immediately I left aside. I said, "These people want to disgrace me." So about four people came out. Prophet Joseph said, no, the person I'm seeing is not here. And that was the time Prophet Joseph started his gift from Ajebo. Yes. So after all the set and done, I went for water baptism. Immediately, I met Prophet Dion. He said, God want to use you again. Even David again called me, God want to use you again. I said, people said, God want to use you, God want to use you. You know, they finish. So before I now follow Prophet Dion to the mountain, I saw myself prophesying. I said, this one don't talk to another thing. When I got home, I told my mother said, no, you never believe. Say never believe, say I don't repent. He said, you never ever repent, you don't deceive vision. So I told my mom that I've given my life to Christ, because after the water baptism, the gift burst out. So starting from there, God started using me.
Hallelujah. Clap your hands now for the Lord. No, you go hear more. Boboye, come and tell us how your own starts. Where is Kenneth? Is Kenneth here today? He's not here. Tell us now, Boboye. Where is Kenneth? Where is Ogwajo?
Praise the Lord. Jeje mojoko temi ti mo gbe camera jeje. One day I was living in Pleasure that time. A friend of mine drove me out. I was cutting with my friend. He drove me out of his house because I went for a location. I didn't come back with money. So a partner drove me out. So I remember that somebody owed me money at Sango. So I have to go to Sango to go and collect the money. Getting there, I was disappointed. In my way coming, I saw a prophet of the church, Brother Dada. He was my actor. So he said he wants to record a film. I said, okay, I will record a film. That's after 5 years, I recorded his first film. So it was the film he wanted to record when he said his church. But I know him as a prophet, but he was a celeman. But he said he has converted. I say, you are now a gospel preacher. He said, brother, I said, well, thank God. So he said he wants to record his film. I follow him. I say, we are breaking the story. And so I said, no. We should stop that. His church wants to do camp program. That they have never recorded a camp program before, that they want to come and record. That if we suspend the film. I was not happy because I was expecting something to put for my closet. Nothing to eat, no tata for yanya, nothing at all.